The first thing I want to say, if you're, thinking about or going through a divorce, is there's always a solution. There's always an answer, regardless of where you came from or what situation that you're in right now. It's always possible to get an individual plan. Even if you are married and not divorced, it's okay to have two separate policies in one family. You don't have to be on a family plan. So that's the second, framework perspective I want you to keep in mind. The third thing is where to begin that journey and that search. Well, there's two markets to shop when it comes to health insurance. So if your benefits are not provided by a corporate employer, your boss, you can purchase your own health insurance in two markets, the public healthcare marketplace and the private healthcare marketplace.
Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Paulette Rigo, and I'm here to guide you through the storm of divorce into much calmer waters. So hold tight. Whether you're contemplating divorce, in the thick of it, or just rebuilding post-divorce, I've got you covered. Each episode, we'll tackle the tough topics, share resilient stories, and offer practical, helpful advice to help you navigate with confidence wisely. Remember, you're not alone. I've been there, and so have millions of others. And your brighter future awaits, I promise. Ready to turn a tough time into a time of growth? I know you are. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you find this content helpful, please share it with others who might benefit. Now, let's dive into today's topic. See you soon. I'm hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tiara, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host here and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Hello and welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I know most of you know who I am, Paulette Rigo, your host. I'm the director and CEO of Better Divorce Academy, author of Better Divorce Blueprint, and the Better Divorce Podcast host, yours truly. Today, I want to dive into a very important topic that I hear quite frequently for people going through divorce. What do I do about health insurance? Yep, it's a big problem. whether you're on your spouse is on yours, you don't know how to qualify for it, depending on if you have children. There's so many questions. So I have curated an expert that I've fallen in love with, and I know you will too. Her name is Dr. Noor. She's a healthcare advisor. She was a medical doctor turned health insurance expert. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Noor. I'm so glad you're here with me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Paulette, for having me. It's really a privilege. I'm so excited to answer some burning questions for your audience today.
You know, it's not one of those topics that comes up all the time, first of mind, right? Of course, it's, can we save the marriage? What do we do about the children? How do we tell the children? Do we, you know, keep the house? Do we not keep the house? How do we equitably divide the assets, and so on and so forth? But eventually, this nitty-gritty topic comes up, health insurance. But let's start at the beginning of your story. So everybody knows a little bit more about you as a person. They know enough about me, who cares? But tell me, like, why you do this? Why would you leave the medical profession, you know, as a daily grind, forgive me, and then get in transition into this? That is a really fascinating story. So share everybody your journey. Why did you do that?
Sure. Thank you, Paulette. And it wasn't really much of a choice, but something that I really fell into, and I'd love to share more about that. So I'm originally from New York City, grew up in New York, and there was a point in my life where my entire family knew, and ever since I was 5 years old, I was propelled towards a track into medicine. Everybody knew I was going to grow up and I was going to be a doctor, right? But something happened in our lives when I turned 18 years old. I'm about to start my college career, but we get a phone call from back home in Bangladesh. And we learned that my grandfather has passed away. And my father looks at us and says, we all have to move back to Bangladesh now. And all of a sudden, my world is upside down. I'm standing in the middle of my all-women's college campus in a medical school in Bangladesh. It's 118 degrees, sweltering heat. I'm looking around. I'm very unfamiliar. My grandfather, my role model, is nowhere to be seen. He's passed away. And I'm just struggling just to survive. I can't speak the language. I can't communicate with my peers. I can't eat the food. I'm too skinny. I'm struggling just to survive. But at that time, education is what brings me comfort. So I dive in deep. I'm doing really, really well in medical school. One of my professors recognizes my ambition and says, wow, you just timed 16 minutes and 30 seconds for the C-section. No one's ever done that before. So in my free time, I founded this internationally award-winning community project where I offered free antenatal care to slum-dwelling women all over the country. And that project was recognized by the United Nations in 2014. So I'm thriving in my surgical career. I'm doing great in my extracurricular activities. So I'm 23 years old in my final year of medical school and love is the last thing on my mind. But this man that I met 6 years ago contacts me, gets in touch with me, and, you know, he wants to meet and go on a date. So he flies to Bangladesh to come see me. We're having dinner with my family. And my father looks at all of us and says, well, if you want to go on a date with her, you have to commit to marrying her. And my husband's, you know, not my husband at the time, he just looks around and says, well, can I have some time to think about this? Yeah, you've got 15 minutes. So that conversation happened on a Wednesday. And by Friday, we were married. So that happened super duper quick. It was a whirlwind. But now all of a sudden, I'm in my final year of medical school and training. I'm married. I have a long distance marriage with a career professional back in New York City. So 2 years go by, and now it's finally time for me to move back to America to be with my husband, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the way it works for foreign doctors like myself is we don't have to go through medical school again, but we have to pass a series of licensing exams in order to practice surgery in the States. Now, at that point in my career, I was already like a superstar surgeon. I'm practicing general surgery. I'm doing really well in my career. And the content of the first of those series of exams was basic sciences. And it was a really big disconnect for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like 7 to 9 years of gap in education. So I studied for that test for 2 years and I didn't pass it. I failed by one question, which was about 3 points at the time. And that just sent me into this deep, deep depression, the worst kind of time in my life. And I still shake kind of thinking about how bad and dark that period was.
But yet you could do a C-section in 14 minutes.
Oh, that's like, the one of the easiest in my docket of skills, but it was really dark time in my life and I just needed a win, Paulette. I needed something to tell me that I'm capable, I'm worthy, I'm useful. So we decided to make a change. So I'm 26 years old. We moved down to Florida to just have a, new change. My in-laws were here. We decided maybe we'll focus on building a family. I'll see what I want to do with my career. And the only opportunity that I received at the time was a sales role for health insurance, which was alarming because by that time I had a dual degree in internal medicine, general surgery. I had a master's in public health. I had a graduate certificate in infection control. So I'm this very highly educated and capable woman. But on paper, I just looked like a high school graduate because I never went to undergrad. So no one was giving me, opportunities on par with my skills, except for the sales role. And, I look around me and my peers are nowhere near my level of education, but I needed a win and I had to make it work. So that was about 5 years ago, and that's what brought me to where I am today.
Well, fascinating story. I mean, thank you for sharing. I didn't quite know the whole deep dive in that. And so now you live in Tampa, right, full time, and you have committed yourself to educate people about the ins and outs of health insurance. Now, health insurance has changed since Obamacare, right? No, political statement about that, whether you see that as good or bad or ugly. I don't mean that way, but there's a lot of education. I mean, I have spent, I don't know how long, t a lot of time on the phone with people, because when we moved from Boston to Belize, that's a little bit of a health insurance issue, because you have to get expat insurance or emergency insurance, like in case you need to be med flighted or helicopter to Miami or America or Mexico City or somewhere. Because let's just say Belize doesn't really have a healthcare industry. Well, it does, but not in anything to emergency or to the levels of care. So we had that, but then we moved back to the States and it was like, well, what do you mean you had a gap in insurance? Like the questions that you would think we just murdered 90 people. They were like, really angry with us. Well, like we didn't live here. Why would we have health
Why would we
insurance
have
if we
it? Yeah.
don't live here? I mean, and we didn't live there for 3 years. So it seems silly to have health insurance when we weren't even in the country, right? So
Exactly.
well, then of course when we came back, it was like, well, what do we really need? So fast forward now, age has a lot to do with it. So where are we now in 2020, almost four, with the system and the best education that you can help? Where do people begin their search when it comes to not just securing the best health insurance for them, but in particular with divorce cases? Where do they start?
Yeah, great question. So many great things you mentioned there. So I'll put a little framework and then I'll address those questions. So since 2008, the advent of the ACA, Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, politicized term, whatever you want to call it, many things have changed and many things have not changed. So we still have the Affordable Care Act, but then a lot of throughout the time with administration changes, a lot of little things have gone away. So for example, January 2029, under the Trump administration, Congress repealed the penalty for the individual mandate. So before you had to have health insurance or you would get penalized. So
I was penalized and so angry. I
So
got a
gaps
bill
were not
and I said,
acceptable.
what the heck is this? How dare you add to charge me money for not having
For
health
not having, I
insurance?
mean, in
I'm
your
okay with
case,
it.
it makes absolutely no sense. Why would you pay for an insurance policy when you're not even
I
on the
did
waiting?
pay the bill, but I was not happy about it.
I'll bet. Well, in 2019, that bill, that penalty went down to zero, which was a
Of course,
federal.
this was 2018. So yeah,
Yeah,
lucky,
exactly.
yeah.
I'm so sorry. But then, so, health insurance is federally regulated, but also state mandated. So some states still, override that, like California, where even though it's a federal mandate, there's still some laws. So where you live, Paulette, like you said, has everything to do with really your choices and your options. So that's one framework I want to present. The second is you asked, well, where do you begin? The first thing I want to say, if you're, thinking about or going through a divorce, is there's always a solution. There's always an answer, regardless of where you came from or what situation that you're in right now. It's always possible to get an individual plan. Even if you are married and not divorced, it's okay to have two separate policies in one family. You don't have to be on a family plan. So that's the second, you know, framework perspective I want you to keep in mind. The third thing is where to begin that journey and that search. Well, there's two markets to shop when it comes to health insurance. So if your benefits are not provided by a corporate employer, you know, or you know, your boss, you can purchase your own health insurance in two markets, the public healthcare marketplace and the private healthcare marketplace. And in a Venn diagram, these two worlds have little to no overlap. So they're completely different markets with opposing interests. The way to determine which market to begin your research, we're going to start out with income and good health. So the public marketplace is great if you're lower income, or at least you can show lower income. And what I mean by that is under 20,000 in America, you can for annual household income, you can qualify for free health insurance. That's Medicaid. Anything between roughly 20 to 50,000, you can qualify for a sliding scale subsidy where the government will pay a portion of your premiums in the form of a temporary tax credit. So something to be cautious of is if you exceed that subsidy qualifying threshold, keep in mind that, hey, I'm paying $100 a month for my plan right now. That price might go up as my income goes up, right? So that's a little bit about the public marketplace. I would suggest that if you're lower income, under 50,000 for individual filing taxes solo. On the private market, if you're earning more than that, if you're a higher income earner and you're generally healthy, we can get you better plans. That's going to take income out of the equation and use your good health as the primary determining factor for calculating premiums. So it's really that initial assessment and evaluation of your risk, your income level, your trajectory for that year, where we determine which markets to begin the research in.
Okay. So you have those two worlds that, you have to choose from between the public and the private. Okay. Now, it can be overwhelming because I know that I don't know how many insurance companies out there, 50, 100, I don't know, whatever the number is, a lot. And they each call the plans different things. And they have tiers, right? So let's just pick colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, like I don't know, chartreuse, fuchsia, like they gold, silver, platinum, they give them these names. And then everything is you get one physical a year, all the way to like you can have open heart surgery for free, to like, like this gradient, right? I don't know how some of them are very gradient. Some of them are, we just kind of make it a little less. It's very overwhelming. And I could see why you really need a professional, an advisor, a consultant that can take your family, your situation, your income, and your health, right? If you are relatively young and healthy, your premiums should be really cheap. Or if you're older and quite ill, and have a lot of medications, then I could see why it might be more expensive. Most of the time, please correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. So far so good. I guess she's nodding. If you're listening to the audio, she's saying, okay, you get it so far. But the problem is when there's a divorce and the wife typically, is on the husband's policy, and maybe the children are in middle school or high school, and they're going to age out in the next 5 to 10 years. So child support will disappear. They may or may not have received alimony, depending on the situation, and they may or not have had a income, right? Whether they're a stay-at-home parent or whether they have chosen to stay in the workforce during the child-rearing years. And they really are starting to get up in age. Maybe they've gained some weight. Maybe, they're not on death's door, don't get me wrong, but they might need to still keep up that annual physical and have a mammogram and a pap smear and all the what I call normal, although I prefer thermography. That's a whole nother discussion, but they don't like thermography. You always have to get a mammography. And I just pay for it myself because that's another discussion, Paulette. Doesn't like that stuff, but it irks me the things they'll pay for and the things they won't pay for, and they don't like preventative things, but they do like when you're sick. But anyway, if I were president, so if no, Dr. Noor and I were president, we'd fix the whole healthcare center system. But anyway, so the here you are, divorcing or divorced, and
that you just can't afford health insurance. So it's expensive. So most of these women then have to go back into the workforce or start a career, whether that be entrepreneurship or working for a corporation. Now, if you're working for a corporation, you know, that's better because naturally the health insurance should or most likely will be at least a portion of it picked up by your provider. But the fear and the angst that I see in divorcing women, predominantly couples, where they feel like I need to stay married because I'll lose my health insurance. And it's such a horrible thing for me to hear. I don't want anyone to feel like they have to stay in a relationship that is abusive, dysfunctional, unhappy, controlling, where they just feel that they're miserable because of health insurance, right? So what kind of advice or guidance can you give those type of people that, you know, it's not an easy fix, I know, but where do we start to give them the tools that they can collate to get that issue taken care of?
Of course, of course. And I hear this all the time, and it is truly heartbreaking, you know, women who are in situations they shouldn't be in because of health insurance, and also women who are, you know, who have this dream to start a business or do something, but also afraid because of health insurance benefits. So I hear this all the time, and it is heartbreaking. And the first thing I want to say is there is, again, always a solution, right? The biggest fallacy that I hear is I cannot afford health insurance. And that's just not true. So let's take a few avatars or profiles, because every situation is different. And I acknowledge that. And that's really where my expertise comes in, to do that assessment and evaluation and risk assessment to find out solutions. So let's say you're recently divorced, you're on your husband's plan, you've never had to figure out your own health insurance, and you don't know what to do. If you're not receiving alimony and you don't have a job lined up and you're not really planning to work, now let's take advantage of that lower income in at least the first year or two after your divorce, as you figure and sort things out. Maybe take advantage of Medicaid if you can show income below $20,000, right? That's free healthcare. You don't have to pay anything. You know, if your income's going to be between $20,000 to $50,000, let's take advantage of that government subsidy. And again, maybe a very low cost plan on the public marketplace. So those are the places that I would start. If you think, you know, getting a job is an option for you, go, of course, a corporate plan is going to be a great solution. And then if you receive alimony and you have some type of income and you're making more than $50,000, a private individual insurance plan is going to be a better fit. So really depends on what situation they're at, but in every single stage and bracket, there is a solution. And at the same time, I have to say that assessment should be done routinely. You know, the first year after your divorce, where you are is not going to be where you're going to be in 3 to 5 years, when you might be in a much better spot. And, you know, the plan that served you 5 years ago is not going to be good for you at that time. So doing that assessment. And also, like you said, you know, when the kids are grown and they're aged out, what to do about them? Who carries the kids? This is an assessment that needs to be ongoing, and your health insurance plan should evolve according to that life situation.
So what data points should they collect so that they have all the essentials collected? You mentioned a premium letter. So kind of walk us through that. What does that look like?
Sure. So when researching health insurance, the first thing I want you to think about is income. What am I expecting to make, you know, this year and next year? Just a rough ballpark answer. That's going to tell me which market to begin the research in. The second thing is really going to be a medical needs assessment. Think about, what are the routine prescription medications that you're taking? Do you need major surgeries? Are you dealing with a chronic illness? You know, are you taking insulin shots every day, or you're just going for once a year annual checkup? Completely different risk profiles, right? And when I ask someone about, hey, tell me about your general health, that's such a broad and vague question. The example that I can give is, if you are an asthmatic who has maybe a rescue inhaler here and there that just gets flare up, maybe if you have a little extra exercise or, you know, during pollen season, that asthmatic is very, very different than someone who is overweight and asthmatic, who has multiple inhalers, is a smoker, has COPD, has to go to the emergency room to get nebulized every time they have an asthma attack. Two completely different asthma patients, right? So understanding really your medical needs is also going to be the second factor that's going to be very important to evaluating what health insurance plan is necessary.
Good, good. So listen to what Dr. Nora is saying. She's a healthcare advisor. Just remember that term, advisor. There is a solution. As I have on my little bookshelf here, everything is figure outable. You can do this.
get the help you need, reach out to her. And all of that will be in the show notes, how to reach out to her. And we'll tie up with that. But I do not want to be remiss in also discussing that you're the founder of Think Like a Woman. Tell us a little bit about that platform. You mentioned that it's designed to amplify the aspirations and ambitions of female founders and entrepreneurs. So what is Think Like a Woman? I'm fascinated. Maybe I should join.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for asking. This Think Like a Woman was born out of like just inevitable necessity. And Paulette, I know that you can relate to this because every day, you know, you and I, we're both talking to women who are so intensely capable, who have this magical light inside of them. And the conversation that I have when I talk about health insurance, I have like 10 to 15 consultations every single day. And you know, I sense the power, I sense the capacity, but they are held back because maybe they're in an external environment that's not in their, you know, in the ideal or best interest, or maybe they're afraid of something like health insurance benefits or fear of what's going to happen if I, you know, divorce my husband or spouse and go into this situation. So I'm having these conversations every single day. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what if Paulette in Atlanta were to meet, you know, Alice in New York City, and their businesses would just kind of exponentially explode and boom. And I was having these thoughts every single day, and when I really wanted to bring them together. So I said, how can I bring them together? And the first thought that popped into my head was a round table brunch. So what I do is I host these highly, highly curated, invite-only round table business networking brunches where I bring together female entrepreneurs from all over the country. And we don't just sit and have a meal. We have these life transformational conversations. So the concept, Paulette, is someone at the table is going to have a solution to a problem that you have. And we're all primed to really open all the doors for you. So that's really the concept behind Think Like a Woman.
Well, I want to learn more about it. It sounds fascinating. I also want to remind everyone, just while it's on my mind, is that health insurance is always something that can be negotiated in your mediation agreement. So as a credentialed private mediator, as well as the certified divorce coach for, I say, vanilla cases or high conflict cases, not everybody has to have a high conflict case to need the expertise and advisor about divorce. But in that, you can add language in your agreement that will lay down the foundations of whether you're hanging on to your spouse's policy. I believe you can stay on an additional 3 years under a COBRA. There's some, you know, things that you can do to make it not just cut and dry, like it's going to end automatically the minute the divorce is final. But you can sort of ease your way out of the obligation, ease your way into a new situation. I don't want anyone to think that that health insurance piece is written for you. You do have control, typically, if you're privately mediating versus if you're letting the courts and a judge decide for you. One additional reason to privately mediate above and beyond all the other benefits is the fact that you and your spouse are in control of how you want the health insurance to be addressed or resolved. So didn't want to forget that part. So what's the best way for people to learn more about you, follow you, and work with you? Because I know there are people out there listening that need help with their health insurance.
Yes, thank you, Paulette. You can learn more about me and my services on my website. That's drnoorhealth.com, drnoorhealth.com. I'm also very, very active on social media, on LinkedIn and Instagram. You can follow my life and stories on Instagram at dr.noorhealth. You can also learn more about Think Like a Woman and apply to attend a future roundtable at thinklikeawoman.co.
Beautiful. I thank you for this time, for sharing your expertise and your story, which is so heartwarming to have someone so beautiful, intelligent, articulate, talented, get in the trenches and being willing to help people solve this very needed problem. It's a big problem, particularly in divorce. And now I feel like I have you in my Rolodex to pull out, and you're able to work with people all over the country, correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. All 50 states. So you don't have an excuse, anyone. So thank you for this time, Dr. Noor. I appreciate it. Again, you listening have a solution, whether you realize it or not. It can be better. So until next time. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Until next time, keep thriving in the chaos.